Scripture reading is Luke 23, verses 42 and 43. I read. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Amen. The brothers and sisters in Christ, are you happy every day? On one Sunday, a few weeks ago, I was walking home after Daniel prayer meeting. Accidentally, I heard the sub-district leader saying to the district leader with a smile. She said, I'll see you tomorrow, district leader. Her words remained me in my mind all the way I went home, and I felt touched in my heart. The reason was this. It was over 11 p.m. when she said so. She worked for the Father all day long and attended Daniel prayer meeting too. But still, she smiled and said to meet for the Father's work again tomorrow. Suddenly, I thought, for her, living as a Christian is the main reason of life, unlikely to many other Christians. You, mommy members, are living your Christian life so diligently that worldly people may say you're peculiar. What makes you do so? I asked this question to myself, and I got the answer right away. I think you can also answer this question confidently. It is because this way we are walking as the way of true blessing. Also, the word of life and the works of the power, which are the evidence of the living God, confirm this fact. Also, the love of God, the Lord and the Shepherd, and that word and power comfort us while we are walking this way, so we can run happily like this. Of course, you may be comforted in the world, but that comfort is fleshly comfort and may console your heart for some moment, but it cannot be the true solution. But the comfort from the Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd is different from this kind of comfort. It is because that comfort contains dream and vision beyond the simple consolation to sorrow. That dream and vision become the driving force to make us walk again. So, as John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. This comfort is the true comfort. Today, I'd like to keep preaching about his last seven words on the cross, focusing on the second word this time. I told you the last seven words on the cross are the words of Jesus which he left from the moment that he was crucified to his last breath. I hope you can take the message of love that is in his last seven words in your heart again today. I hope that you and I can practice this message in our daily life and receive true comfort. Now, let's delve into the second word based on our shepherd's sermon. Luke 23, verse 42 and 43 says, and he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. In Luke chapter 23, when Jesus was hung on the cross, there were two criminals being crucified on either side of Jesus. As it is said in Luke 23, verse 39, one of the criminals said, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Here the other criminal rebuked this criminal. Verse 40 and 41 says, but the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserved for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he asked Jesus in verse 42, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus saw his faith and said in verse 43, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. This criminal received the promise of salvation since he accepted Jesus as his Savior before his death. And it is the proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah who can forgive and save anyone who repents. However, about the same event, Matthew 27:44 says, the robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. It means that both criminals insulted him, Jesus. Also, Mark 15:32 says, those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. Then why are these records different like this? Imagine the scene. There are three crosses standing on Golgotha, and countless people are surrounding the crosses and making noise. And the Roman soldiers barricaded the cross with spears and shields. In this noisy place, if you stand at the side of the criminal who's insulting Jesus, you can hear what he says, but you cannot hear that the other criminal says clearly. So, to the eyes of the people who are on the side of the criminal who is casting insults at Jesus, the other criminals seem to be hurling abuse at Jesus. But those who stand at the side of the criminal who repented or near Jesus can hear what he and Jesus say and can record this correctly. Of course, the Almighty God can make people know the situation correctly and record it. But by allowing this difference of records, God worked so that people who read the Bible and in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit can understand the situation all the more clearly and vividly. Our Father God is so gentle like this. Let's get back to the point. What Jesus said to the criminal has many spiritual meanings. Let's look into them now. First, Jesus tells us about paradise through this word. There are many records about the kingdom of heaven in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 12:4 was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. As it says, the Apostle Paul mentions about the place called paradise. Also, Revelation 21:10-11 explains about the holy city, Jerusalem, that her brilliance is like a very costly stone as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Those who resemble the Lord by casting off all kinds of sins and evil and who are faithful in all God's household can enter New Jerusalem. Likewise, through the Bible, we can see that the dwelling places are divided in the kingdom of heaven from paradise to New Jerusalem. In the case of the criminal in today's scripture, he accepted the Lord just before his death. Therefore, he didn't have time to cast off sins or work for the Lord. He barely received the qualification to be saved. People like this criminal who didn't sow anything or act with faith will go to paradise, which is the lowest dwelling place in the kingdom of heaven. There are many, but it is more beautiful than any place in this earth. There are many levels such as first, second, and third heavenly kingdoms between paradise and New Jerusalem. According to the extent to which one's heart is sanctified and according to his faith and faithfulness, the dwelling place will be different for each person. It is because it is right according to the justice of God. It is the justice of God to let us reap what we sow and to pay back according to what we have done. The dwelling place in heaven will be decided according to the extent that we have cast off sins and resemble the image of the Holy Lord. As 1 Corinthians 15:41 says, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. Each one's glory will be different and his reward, happiness, and authority will be all different. If you truly have faith, you should not think, I can just be saved and lead an ordinary life. But you should long to enter into a better heavenly place. Some people may ask, why did God divide heavenly dwelling places? However, if the same rewards are given to those who live their Christian life diligently to resemble the image of the Lord struggling against sins, and those who live their Christian life roughly, is it fair? Is it true love? No, it isn't. To pay back according to what we have done is fair and it is love. Also, we cannot go into heavenly kingdom with sins. We can take only what we have cultivated with goodness and spirit. Therefore, those whose spiritual levels are similar will gather and live together. It is happier for children to stay with children, young adults with young adults, even on this earth. Likewise, in heaven, people live together with those who are at a similar level of faith so that they can be happier and more comfortable. Let's look into what Jesus told the criminal in more details. First, this does not mean that Jesus will live in paradise forever. The dwelling place of the Lord in heaven is New Jerusalem, the most beautiful place. However, because the Lord is the master of the entire heavenly kingdom, and he dwells in the entire heaven, he said like this. In addition, today here does not mean that Jesus would go to paradise on the day of crucifixion itself. It means from that time on, the Lord will be with the criminal since the criminal was saved and became God's children by faith. Then on the day of Jesus' death on the cross, on Friday, where did Jesus go? Matthew 12:40 says, Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Ephesians 4:9 says, He also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. Also, 1 Peter 3:19 says, In which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. After he died on the cross, Jesus went not to paradise, but to prison to preach the spirit there. Here, the spirit in prison refers to those souls who are eligible to be saved among those who died before Jesus took the cross and became savior. If we can, we can understand this better if we know the love of God. For us to be saved, we have to be forgiven of our sins only by believing in Jesus Christ. Even though one may live in goodness in his own sight, everybody is a sinner who is born with original sin and who commits sins. Only the precious blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sins and open the way of salvation. Then does this mean that everyone who dies before Jesus came to see this earth was not saved and they went to hell? Also, does it mean that everybody who has never heard the gospel, even after Jesus came, has to go to hell? No. God is the God of love and justice, and He wants everybody to reach salvation. Therefore, God prepared the way of salvation through Jesus Christ for those who lived before Jesus came to this earth or for those who have never heard the gospel as well. Among those who have never heard the gospel, there are some people who acknowledge the existence of God with their good heart and live in goodness. Romans 2:14-15 says, For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are the law to themselves, and that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. Likewise, those who try not to be stained with sins and to live in goodness following the voice of their conscience, even though they do not know God, or those who acknowledge one creator God, though vague, without worshiping meaningless idols or demons from the greed, or those who follow the duty of man, would definitely accept Jesus Christ if they heard the gospel. On the contrary, even though one may look very good on the outside, if they do not believe, even after hearing the gospel, it means their conscience is evil and will not be saved. Men do not know the conscience of other people, but the Almighty God knows all the mind and deeds of all men. Therefore, God can distinguish those who have believed if they heard the gospel among those who lived before the Lord Jesus came. This is the judgment of conscience. God made the souls who can be saved by the judgment of conscience rest in the upper grave until Jesus became the Savior. Also, those souls of the Old Testament days who were saved by living by the word were staying in the upper grave. After Jesus died on the cross, He went to the spirits in prison, namely those who were in the upper grave. Acts 4:12 says, And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among the men by which we must be saved. As said, He had to preach Jesus Christ, the way of salvation for them. At this time, the spirits who were in the upper grave accepted Jesus as their Savior, were forgiven of all their sins, and were saved. And then they were moved to the waiting place in paradise from the upper grave. Dear members, our shepherd let us know that these important meanings are contained in the Lord's last seven words on the cross through His sermon, Message of the Cross. As Exodus 12:9 says, Do not eat any of it raw or boil it all with water, but rather roast it with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. We should not interpret the Bible literally, which is eating it raw, or by the worldly knowledge or philosophy, which is eating it boiled with water. As it says to eat it roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, and along with its entrails. So when we interpret all the words in it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can understand the true spiritual meaning of them. However, it never be easy to receive the explanation in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It needs so many efforts. But thanks to our shepherd who received the explanation of the precious words by accumulating justice, we receive this blessing for granted. By the way, there is one thing I realized while I studied this message again. When Jesus promised the salvation to the criminal and gave the word of hope for heaven, how was the situation? It was at his last moment, which was right before he breathed his last on the cross. Due to the extreme pain from the punishment on the cross, he shed so much water and blood, he was completely wiped out. It must not be easy for him to say one word. Nevertheless, Jesus concentrated on the criminal's word with all his strength, and he gave the promise of salvation to him. Jesus could do so because he knew the heart of Father God so well. What is his heart? As 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? It's the heart that he wants to save one more soul without giving up on anyone. It is the heart that he earnestly wants to lead one more soul to soul to heaven. Jesus wanted to fulfill this will because he loves the Father. But it doesn't mean that Jesus did these things from some obligation, but he should fulfill the will of Father God. If Jesus did all these things only with a sense of duty, he must not have to say the last words to the criminal in that extreme pain. It is because he was already fulfilling the providence of salvation by shedding all his blood and water on the cross. But Jesus also loved the souls more than his own life, and he wanted to save the souls with the same heart of Father God. His utmost love for mankind made him shout this word over such great sufferings. Jesus, this word with authority and this love led the criminal to the way of salvation. However, this word is not only for the salvation of this criminal. And also, how was our shepherd who let us know this love of the Lord? Did he teach us about this love only with words? No. As you know well, he helped us to be saved who were destined to die by practicing that love by himself. He helped us to dream of coming into spirit and whole spirit that we couldn't dream of before. Our shepherd's sacrifice was 3-month period of suspension in 2013. To receive that period of suspension from Father God, our shepherd received a sword of punishment for us. His strength has been drained already due to this incident of forgiveness on December 25th, 2010, and this excessive shock was added. From the shock on his whole body, all his physical functions fell down all the more. To crown it all, his emotional shock added every day because of the letters of repentance from pastors, Levite workers, leaders, and members. Father God said, Our shepherd's every day with this sacrifice was same as the pain on the cross. Nevertheless, because our shepherd knew Father God's loving heart for us that was contained in the sword of punishment, he could endure it. Father God's sword of punishment was not to destroy or forsake us. The sword contained the Father's yearning heart to save us. Father God knew very well that His beloved Son would receive the sword if He struck the sword. Even to the extent that He let Him sacrifice, He struck the sword in order to open the way to save us. Our shepherd knew this heart of the Father better than anyone else. But our shepherd didn't take the sacrifice only because He knew the Father's will or because He is our shepherd either. Already, our shepherd helped us to be saved who were going to way of death on December 25th, 2010. To make that time of forgiveness, he paid so many sacrifices. Even after that, he gave us his everything unsparingly to lead us to life. Even if he didn't give any more, it was enough to fulfill the will of Father God. In addition, he didn't have any more strength left to give us. At this extreme situation, he received a sword of punishment with all his strength to save us once again. It was the sacrifice that was possible only because he loved us more than his own life, just like the Lord. Only by that love, he fulfilled everything. After finishing the day, March 31st, he went up to the mountain. But he didn't say, "I'll take a rest now in the mountain." Although he sacrificed so much, he didn't stop harboring us to fill the measure of justice. At the situation that he didn't have any strength even to think anything, he didn't let go of the love towards us. There is his confession that helps us feel this heart of the shepherd. It is the profession offered during mountain prayers while filling up the measure of justice for the change of spiritual growth and blessings of the beloved church members. On my eyes, my ears, my head, and my body, even though the fact that I cannot do anything as I want to towards me, my heart is still completely filled with love that enables me to do anything. I overcome this moment solely with the power of that love. This hardship cannot be endured even with faith or hope. And I am enduring it only with love. When I lie down or sit, or even when I do not even know that I am holding a spoon in my hand, even when I cannot feel myself as to whether I am standing or not, I am looking up to the Father, only the Father, so desperately and earnestly. I forget that I am a person, that I have a body, that it's evening now, or it's time for dear believers to gather. For the last 31 years, my heart has never left my beloved church members, the flock of the Father. It is sad and tormenting that I cannot sense with my own will the time they gather and the time they offer worship service. But my heart is filled with love, more love than any other time, Father. Is my sight dim because I shed too many tears? Are my ears dull because I heard so many things that couldn't be contained? But this is the least of my concerns. My love and the fact that souls are changing stand me up, and I gather my strength again for the glory of the Father, which is at the end of this waiting. Even in the situation that he didn't recognize how the day passed or if he stood or not, he never let go of his love for the souls. Rather, he encourages us to run with the love again. There was a time when we could feel this love so much more than other time. It was during the summer retreat in 2014. At the time of the seminar of the summer retreat, we had a sweet rain of blessings in the providence of the Father. However, our shepherd was not in such a condition that he could be in the rain, but he was in that rain of blessing for us willingly. Rather, he arrived at the place early and welcomed us. In that rain, he preached a message without any error, and he prayed with his strength for many people to be healed. By that love of the shepherd, we could feel the love of the Father contained in the sweet rain of blessings, and it made us change. Likewise, even at the extreme situation that he can't step even one step, he steps the step of love for us. He is our shepherd. Even by sacrificing everything, even if that sacrifice is the sacrifice of his most beloved son, Father God's heartbreaking love wants to lead the souls to salvation. Feeling that loving heart, Jesus' love saved the criminal with the same heart even in the extreme pain on the cross. Even in the situation that he can't even recognize if he is standing or not, our shepherd's love doesn't stop walking the walk of love. Thanks to this love, we came to walk the way of blessing towards spirit and all spirit over the way of salvation. Then how should we go forward who received the true life by this love? We should also resemble the Lord and our shepherd. What is the way? That is, to do our God-given duty with all our best, with the love for them as they did. That given duty is this. As 2 Peter 3:8 and 9 says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We should know the heart of Father God, who waits again and again, and who wants everyone to repent and be saved. It is the providence of the end time that we should lead one more soul to the way of salvation without giving up on any soul, even a soul like the criminal in today's scripture. As our shepherd told us about the evangelism, our shepherd has been focusing on this duty of evangelism. This is a very important duty given to us. Our shepherds told us to take the better heaven by doing this duty. Not only this duty of taking care of souls, the evangelism is directly related to the salvation of the souls. We should resemble our Lord and our shepherd who did their duty faithfully. And what do we need most to do this duty? Just like the Lord and our shepherd did, we should fulfill the heart of submission, which is the true obedience that you obey with understanding the heart. Because the Lord and our shepherd understood the heart of Father God, they could fulfill the will. Then let's look into what the heart of submission is briefly. First, there are three kinds of obedience in general. They are blind obedience, obedience, and submission. A dictionary says that blind obedience is the obedience to the state without being able to question it or defy it. Spiritually, it's these without love and willingness that you act because you have to. it bias to the action of obedience. It reminds of us of a robot that does what it says to, said to do. Next, obedience is the deeds that you do without arguing various situations because you love the one and wants to obey his word. But it is important to obey in the truth. For your better understanding, let me give you an example. Last year, many of you read the Bible more than once. However, according to what kind of heart you had when you read the Bible, your deed of reading the Bible can be different. It may be blind obedience or obedience. Let's say many people around you were reading the Bible, and it was the spiritual flaw to read the Bible. So you read the Bible from a sense of duty, without knowing the reason or a clear purpose of reading the Bible. If you only focus to finish it once, it is blind obedience. On the contrary, let's say you read the Bible with joy and fluttering heart because you wanted to obey the beloved shepherd. You didn't only focus on reading, but summarized and prayed with the words such as to do, not to do, to keep, and to cast off happily, as the shepherd said. Then it is obedience. Father God is more pleased with children who obey like this than children who give blind obedience. However, the deed that pleases Father God more is submission. It is obedience with understanding the depths of the heart of Father God and obeying according to His will with a heart of loving and wanting to obey Him. Once again, submission is obedience with understanding the heart, the depths of the heart of Father God, and obeying according to His will with a heart of loving and wanting to obey Him. The one who fulfilled this heart of submission in the Bible is Abraham, the father of faith. Particularly, his deed of submission shined at the time when he sacrificed his only son Isaac as a burnt offering. Abraham, when he obeyed the Father's word, he didn't obey it because it was the Father God's word. Abraham believed that even if he offered his only son Isaac as a burnt offering, God would revive him. Also, he believed that God would surely keep his word that he would make a great nation through Isaac. Then, how can we fulfill this heart of submission? Can we fulfill it instantly or all at once? No, we can't. We should feel the heart of Father God as much as we can at our own measure of faith, and we should try to obey according to His will. Of course, it's not submission yet. Only when we fulfill the whole spirit at the fifth level of faith, we can fulfill the heart of submission perfectly. Only after fulfilling the heart of whole spirit, we can see, think, and do everything with the viewpoint of the Father and in the way of the Father once. However, as much as we fulfill obedience as best as we can at our own measure of faith, we can develop through our deeds of that obedience. When this obedience piles up over and over again, we can fulfill the heart of submission. The more you practice spiritual things, the deeper your heart in that practice becomes. For example, no newborn babies can walk well from the beginning. They begin to toddle first. They take a few steps and then fall right away. We can say it is a perfect step. But if they toddle again and more, they will fall less time and come to walk a little. In this process, when parents see their baby toddling and walking unsteadily, they say their kid is walking well. It is because they look at the baby with his level. They encourage him and help him to walk better. Father God is the same. Even though we couldn't fulfill the perfect submission yet, if we try our best to fulfill obedience at our own measure of faith, Father God is pleased with it. Therefore, even though we couldn't reach the level of whole spirit yet, we should do our best in the given situation to fulfill the heart of submission. Then, what are the essential requirements to fulfill this heart of submission? The first essential requirement for a heart of submission is the heart of love. Are you obeying with the heart of love, or are you obeying from the sense of duty? If you make the sense of obligation prior to a loving heart, you'll feel hard to obey. But if you obey with a heart of love, you won't feel hard, but you will consider it as the happiest thing. You'll be happy to obey, even if you have to bet your everything. Even in the world, parents jump into the fire or water and throw their lives to save their children. They can do so because they love their children. If we love someone this much, we can give even our life unsparingly. If we love Father God from the depths of our heart, we will only obey His will. We won't try to avoid it with thinking, it's okay, although I don't do this, isn't it? With yes and amen, we will try to fulfill more than what is said to do as much as we love Him. Also, if we have love for our given duties and for the souls, we will take the duty as our own work. We won't say, it's the Father's work, why should I do it? We will obey to do anything willingly. There is a person who is a good example for this field. She's our dear Mrs. Bong Lim Lee, who leads us to pray with all her life every night. I saw Mrs. Bong Lim Lee shedding tears while she praising praise comfort. I was grateful to see her because she always helps to pray fervently every night. Thanks to her, we could pray. We came to pray without ceasing, and we could grow in faith. Lately, during the special Daniel prayer meeting, Mrs. Lee told us how she was preparing for Daniel prayer meeting. From 4 p.m., she does everything to prepare for Daniel prayer meeting. Well, however, Daniel prayer meeting is not all the schedules she has. She begins her day early in the morning, and she leads the prayer center meeting and counsels some members. In the afternoon, sometimes she leads the parish prayer meeting and spends time for the Father's kingdom and for the souls. She was living a busy life. Once it was at lunchtime, I wanted to greet to Mrs. Lee after she finished the prayer center meeting. Usually, she comes back to the prayer center office after the meeting, so I was to wait at the building. But the one who was serving her said she would not come by the office because she would go for a parish prayer meeting. So I asked her how she would have her lunch then. The worker said she would have some food lightly in her car on the way. She saves time to go to pray for the souls. She spends time like that, and from 4 p.m., she prepares for Daniel prayer meeting, not for herself, but for the souls. And she leads the Daniel prayer meeting with all her strength. She does all those things with joy. Through her life, I looked back on myself. I asked myself how she could be living as if she were in 20s. It is because she loves Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd so much, and because she loves the souls so much. With the heart of love, she's doing more than what's given to her to do. Thanks to her, we can pray in spiritfulness to communicate with the Father continually so that we can go the way to become God's true children. Oh, are we grateful to Mrs. Lee? Thank you, Mrs. Lee. It is also the love of Shepherd. We received such great love. Then what should you do? What should we do? We should also obey with the heart of love for the Father and for our given duties. Then what does our Father God want us to obey with the heart of love? Do we have to obey something great to please the Father? He doesn't want us to do something great for Him. He wants us to obey even a small duty given to us with the heart of love. It's worship, prayer, and doing the given duties. Are you listening to the Father's love message for you with a loving heart for Him through worships? Are you holding the communication with the Father precious when you pray? Or do you worship and pray habitually? By asking these questions to ourselves, we can check if we're walking the way of submission or not. It's the same with our given duties. If we obey with a loving heart for Father God, He surely pays back with blessings to us. I have a testimony to share from the small group leaders of the 5th Young Adult Mission. Whenever I look at them, I feel that they are doing their duties to take care of their members with a heart of love. They do their best in their given situations to help the members to feel the love of Father God. Some small group leaders give a help to the members who are having difficulties by visiting them. If they cannot solve the problem by themselves, they ask me for help so that the members can get out of the difficulty until the end. Likewise, they do their duties as a small group leader with a loving heart for Father God and for the entrusted souls, so Father God pays back to their groups with various blessings of answers. I hope you may also obey with this even a small thing given to you with a heart of love so that you can please Father God with your submission. The second essential requirement for the heart of submission is the attitude of reflecting on the Father's will. The key point of submission is to obey not by my own will, but by the will of Father God. To do so, we need to reflect on the Father's will all the time. If we do not have the attitude of reflecting on the will of Father God, we cannot understand His heart. Then, no matter how much we love Him, we may act in the way we want, not in the way He wants. After all, we cannot become the perfect joy to the Father, even if we've done a lot of things. Let's say you served someone you love with an expensive melon, but he prefers to Korean melons than melons. Although you did your best to serve him with an expensive melon from your side, because you didn't consider his taste, you cannot please him perfectly. Therefore, we always need to study thoroughly on what the will of Father God is. There is one person who is a good example in this field among the features in the Bible. He is Enoch. When our shepherd explained about Enoch during 2013 Church Leaders Conference, he said that Enoch's existence itself had been a joy to God. It is not because he had done any great work. He always filled his heart with Father God, and he lived every moment of his life with a God-centered mind. Enoch always wanted to know what kind of God is the Father, what is he pleased with. He tried to please the Father, and he always piled the prayers to know and feel the Father. He fit all his words, actions, and even thoughts to the Father's heart and will all the time. It is because he wanted to please the Father with his everything. Therefore, he never got away from the will of Father God at any moment. That's why Enoch's existence itself became joy to the Father. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you think when you hear about Enoch? Aren't you challenged to be like him? Or is there anyone who thinks, because I'm so much sure that I can't even dream to be like him? No. The reason why Father God explained about Enoch through our shepherd like this is that we can also do so. Therefore, all we have to do is to have confidence to practice one by one. Then what do we have to practice? It's to make all our life related to Father God always, just as Enoch did. It's to seek Father God in all things, even if it's a small matter. Enoch tried to seek and feel Father God even from a single tree or a single flower. By piling up such deeds, he built up his close relationship with Father God. He came to know the will of Father God and obeyed it so that he could please the Father. We should also keep on seeking Father God in every day of our lives and in the nature passing by us as well. This is all we should do. Then we can have a closer relationship with Father God and we can understand His will to that extent. I'll tell you about one church leader. Even he was a leader, he had a hard time because he couldn't cast off the love for the world. He feared the Father God. But one day, he felt in his heart that Father God loved him without giving up on him, although he was not changed yet. From that time on, he began to seek Father God in his life with confidence. For example, he dealt with a customer at his work, and the customer's house name was Happy Bill. He didn't just pass it, but felt it as the expression of Father God, thinking, Father God is expressing that he's happy looking at me through this. By doing so, he sought the Father even from a small matter. Then he didn't feel fear from Father God, but felt close to Him. And he came to long for knowing the will of Father God. This attitude helped him to pass through the trials he encountered with joy and thanks by seeking the good will of the Father in it. Because he kept doing so step by step, he grew in faith to stand on the rock. I hope you can also seek the Father contained in every matter in your life without just passing it by. Then, you'll be able to have a close relationship with the Father. Also, you'll naturally reflect on the good will of the Father so that you can become His true children who understand His heart. Let me conclude the message. Today, we looked into Jesus' last second word on the cross. Truly, I say to you, today, you shall be with me in paradise. We looked into paradise and the love of Father God who repays as we've done. Also, I told you that the meaning of this second word is not that He would go to paradise, but that He is the master of kingdom of heaven. I told you about the upper grave where Jesus went before His death, after His death, and judgment of conscience. Next, we looked into the message that is contained in the second word for me. It is that we should become the fruit of submission now for the Lord and the Shepherd who loved us with the life. Dear members, there is a mommy praise song, Comfort. Its lyrics are like this. Once again, I keep going on to fulfill my Lord's will. With love, He wiped away my tears. I can do all that He asks of me. Once again, today I pray with the love He's given to me. The Lord has touched my heart. May His will be done by me. He's my Lord. He knows my heart. He revives my everything so that I can live for Him today, tomorrow, and always. The Lord who knows my heart revives my everything so that I can live for Him today, tomorrow, and always. Before, we didn't have the true hope, but we walked the way of death. But our Father God, the Lord and our Shepherd, they didn't let us be like that. They helped us to have true hope for New Jerusalem. It is a great blessing for us to have the hope for New Jerusalem. Even though we are not changed yet, and shed tears, Father God and our Lord and our Shepherd are helping us. Just like these lyrics, the Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd had wiped away my tears and touched my heart. And they made me run forward. Thanks to this warm love, we can have hope, true hope, and we can run today and tomorrow with the hope for New Jerusalem. When I sang this praise, I thought of this. To wipe away my tears, how many tears did they have to shed? To touch my heart, how many pains and sacrifices did they have to bear? During the sermon about our church's second prayer title of this year, Fruit, our shepherd told us like this. Let me read this. Is there anyone who thinks as follows, how can a person like me go into spirit? Or I'm satisfied with the rock of faith. I'm satisfied with being saved. If you think with fleshly thoughts, they may sound humble, but in spiritual sense, they are not words of goodness at all. It is not to be humble, but it is actually to disown the grace of God. Jesus did not take the cross and suffer great pains just to give us salvation casually. If you know the earnest heart of Father God, who has been cultivating human beings with so many tears for such a long time, you cannot just say, I would just do this much and be comfortable with it. If you can just stay with me for a couple of days to witness what I'm going through every day to lead you to New Jerusalem, none of you will say, I cannot do it any longer, or how can a person like me do it? I want to give it up. This tells us how many tears our shepherd has shed and how many sacrifices he has suffered to lead us all. That's right. To lead me to become a true child, the Father, Lord, and the Shepherd endured so many things. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Father God, the Lord, and our Shepherd had fulfilled everything to give us the blessing of becoming God's true children. How grateful we are. Thanks to them, even though we are weary or fall, we can't help but stand again. We came to have desire to stand again. Before 2010, we were wandering in the world without the confidence of salvation. But after hearing the praise of Senior Pastor Castle of the Shepherd, I could stand again. But on the way, I have doubted if I could be changed. Sometimes I wanted to stop. But every time I thought so, my shepherd encouraged me. In 2012, our shepherd came back to the church after his long prayer, mountain prayer. I couldn't see him because of my heart of sorrow. But I had courage to go to see him. And then a shepherd said, he said, long time no see. And I felt his love from that word. And he mentioned about my dream that I had told once, like 2 years ago. When I told him about my dream, I was a high school student from a French church. But after 5 years, he mentioned about that dream. Again, he remembered it. I was very much touched by that. Even though I hurt his heart so much, he was still encouraging me. And also in 2013, newly selected pastors were already standing on the rock. But me, our shepherd didn't rebuke me like, why aren't you changed yet? But he said, it's not long you started again. Although by that love, I could be changed. The reason why I am giving this testimony is not to tell you how much our shepherd loved me, but to tell you how much our shepherd loves you. Jesus' second word on the cross was not just for the salvation of the criminal. It was the word for all the souls who are listening to his words. And also these words, and the warm love, it was the gift of blessing to me. And we all received this gift of blessing from our shepherd. So, their warm hands of love that lead me are the gift of blessing for me. I hope that all of us who receive this great gift may not miss the flow of Holy Spirit, but run with our best in 2015. Let's pray, thinking over the message.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's receive the prayer for the sick of senior pastor through video. Please lay your hands on your sick part or for the desire of your heart. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scourge all the terminal incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral palsy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, a thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's disease, and all inflammations. Go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well, let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let no scar remain. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated to bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean force, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them, and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week, and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problem. With the fiery words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes, protect all your children, your families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.